Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Cheaper Than Therapy, a podcast that journeys into conversations with the intention of demystifying, destigmatizing, and desensitizing what really gets talked about behind the closed doors of the therapy room.
I'm Vanessa Bennett.
And I'm Danae Selkin.
And we're seekers, soul sisters, and holders of sacred space. So join us as we dive into the ways that therapy can be connecting not only to yourself, but also to those around you. So today we're talking to Ben, and Ben had a lot to say. Ben, I'm excited for this conversation. We actually always ask people, like, give us 1 to 3 sentences. And Ben's like, I can't condense it into 1 to 3. And I love it. So I'm going to give a quick synopsis of kind of the chunks, right, that I took out. So it feels like there's some age stuff, right? Because you started with, I'm 63. That was your first sentence. It sounds like a 8-9-year relationship with somebody that you really, really love just ended. And you're working through and processing and kind of struggling with that. Also struggling with the realization very recently of all of these terms and things that we talk about, like everybody should know about them, right? Codependence and attachment and all these other things, fear of abandonment. And so we'll get into that a little bit, right? And then the rumination is coming up, which I would kind of put into the bucket of the processing of all of the stuff that's happening and the worrying of like, will I ever find anybody, right? And does it get easier? It seems like that's the last kind of big question is like, does this shit get easier?
Well, I love that question.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot happening and it does feel like it's all living and breathing together. But what is, I guess, the most present for you right now? What about the relationship actually? Why don't we start there? So, cause that was kind of the first thing you said. It was like, I'm 63. I just ended this relationship or this relationship just ended. So what's present for you there?
Yeah. So just a little backstory that might help do that. So I was married for a while and then got divorced and my girls were 6 and 4 at the time. So okay. I kind of raised them as a single dad. And so I didn't really have any relationships during then because I just devoted myself to raising them. And then when I got them to college, it's like, okay, it's my time now. Here we go. And I met this person at a dinner party, and she was beautiful and smart and had an awesome job and then was kind of needed someone to help her experience life. And I'm like, I'm your guy. Like, welcome to my world. You know, I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to be your knight in shining armor. And and so like it started out and it was the most awesome relationship that I could ever have imagined, you know, for like 6 months to a year. And then she started like pulling back, you know, and I wanted to be more connected and she was pulling back and I'm like, whoa, what's going on? Like I was low man on the totem pole, like even under the family dog, like why is this happening? Like I couldn't really understand it. And then we broke up a couple times and then I would go away and go, I need to figure out what's going on. I got to be a better person. And I would come up with, you know, better communication techniques, and we would get back together. And then, so in February 2020, on on Valentine's Day, she came over and said, hey, I don't want to be a couple anymore. I'm done.
Okay.
But she did say, but I still want to hang out with you. And I was like, I was just a mess. I didn't know what to do. It was just before lockdown, the pandemic and everything. And so we went into that, and I'm like, I agreed to that because I'm like, I'll figure out a way to get her back, you know?
Mm.
So we just started hanging out once in a while, and actually we became our best selves. It was awesome. Mm. Like, I fell in love all over again. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to go down swinging. I'm going to tell her how I really feel in a way that I've never done it before, you know, from my heart, because I would be afraid to do that. So I did that. And I found out that she had been sleeping with someone else. And so soon, I'm like, so soon, like, we've just broke up not that long ago. What's going on? So I had to do the no contact thing and go figure out how I got to where I was and why I was doing what I was doing. And during that time, I learned about attachment styles. I'd mm-hmm. never heard about that before. And it was like the heavens opened up and like angels were singing. I'm like, that's it. Like, I'm the poster boy for anxious attachment. And she was the poster girl for avoidant. Mm-hmm. And we were doing that dance thing. And I'm like, whoa, I can work with that. That explains what was going on. So I got in contact with her, and we talked about it, and like, we got connected for the first time ever. It's like, she's like, yeah, that's what happened. I'm like, that's what happened. We're talking about that. And like, we had the best day and the best evening and the best night, like, ever. She's like, yeah, I'm motivated. You know, I really want to learn about that stuff. And I'm like, damn, this is great. And then 2 days later, I saw her, and she goes, you know what? I don't want to do the work. I want to date other guys. I want to be with other guys. Like, pretty much I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wait, how do you go from that to that? So yeah. Short, you know? And I was just shredded. I just was lost. I was in the fog. I didn't know what to do. You know, so I just did the no contact thing. And I started like doing the work. And that's when I learned about, like, I'd never heard about covert narcissism, which I had a little bit of, or toxic loneliness, or intermittent reinforcement, and codependency. I'm the poster boy for codependency. All that stuff. And that's what kind of led me to you guys.
Wow.
That was awesome. So, so that's where I'm at. That was like 6 months ago.
Okay.
So here I, you know, the work is hard. And, I'm haunted by the fact that I didn't know then what I know now. And I can't get out of my head, like, oh, it might have been different had I known then. Did I waste 10 years of my life? Like, would it have been different? You guys think that's one of the things I just think about all the time.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Ben, my heart is just bursting open, you know? And I think it's so hard when we come into the space of understanding all of these dynamics that have been playing out that I had no idea about, like, you know, the ways I was attempting to heal childhood wounds and the dance that myself and another person were playing, you know. And, you know, I think whenever we've been married and then, you know, we're a parent and we spend a long period of time just sort of focused in on raising our kids, I think there's this thing about, like, we get back into the dating world and it feels a little like this next experience of falling in love just feels like, oh, this is like bigger than life, and this is the moment, and this is the person, and our attachment stuff gets like so fired. And so, like, I just feel you so much on that, and we can explore this a little bit deeper. But I always say, I think all of it is perfect. I think all of it is the exact bit of gathering information that I needed to bring me to this moment and the beautiful human that you are right now, who is going to have in his next love experience all of the wisdom that you've gathered in these last 10 years that you are like drinking in right now. And oh my gosh, like, sky's the limit. Like, watch out with what you will use this to bring to fruition.
And it also makes sense that you're in a place of rumination, right? Mm. It's like going back in time and replaying all the things. We have to remind ourselves too that we're only 50% of any relationship.
Absolutely.
Right. So would it have been different? Well, maybe, but it would have only been different if the both of you guys were on the journey together and you were both doing your work and you were both coming to each other like, oh my God, attachment styles. Oh my God, codependency. Right. Like, I've very rarely seen it work. It's not that it's impossible, but I've very rarely seen it work where one person is coming with all of these discoveries and self, you know, this idea of like self-learning and self-growth is just like blowing your mind and the other person's not really there.
And P.S., I think normally once we have this understanding and all of this information gathering that we're talking about, what we're attracted to ends up being different.
Totally changes.
Think so.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Totally changes.
Really? And like how?
I mean, your standards get higher. Like, just say it bluntly. I mean,
to put it, but yeah, it kind of does. Like our, you know, our tolerance for BS just gets a lot lower. Our, you know, our sense of self and like what we insist upon for ourselves expands. And so it's a little bit like we're just clearer with our boundaries, with what we know we need, with what will and won't work for me. I just think we're a lot quicker to be like, yeah, this isn't going to be a great fit.
You know? Yeah, it doesn't take us a year to figure out what our needs are anymore, right? Maybe this time it takes us like a week, and that saves a lot of time on the back end. And so if you're in a partnership with somebody who's not there yet or who isn't interested maybe in being there, you know, yeah, I think to Danae's point, it's like, we just have less tolerance for the BS. It's like, I need communication. I need somebody who's going to be willing to do this work with me. I need somebody who's not going to be like, oh my God, yes. And then allow their attachment stuff to trigger them and then disappear into their avoidance stuff 2 days later, right? Like, you don't need that to grow into your next kind of level of self. Like, actually what you need is somebody who's now going to challenge you. Mm-hmm. Somebody is going to either meet you here or even be a little bit up here. And it's going to challenge you to grow, right? And because you are the classic codependent, so it seems like that's what you've learned. You even more do not need somebody that you're going to be dragging along for the journey.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's what you're saying.
Because all you're doing is just acting out your patterns, if that's the case. You know?
Well, I feel like I know I'm 100% better than I was 6 months ago, but I'm not 100%. But I kind of worry. I don't know what 100% feels like.
Welcome to the club.
I mean,
to the club.
You let us know when we get there. I'll let you know when I get there.
When you figure it out, we'll all come back together and we'll reconvene. But I mean, yeah, I think that's part of this dance of life is like, we all look around at each other like, does somebody have the answer? Does somebody have this shit figured out? Like, who's keeping the secret? And surprise, no one has the answer. No one. The Pope doesn't know, right? Like, I don't know. You don't know. My therapist doesn't know. Like, I don't care what level you're on in your spiritual journey. No one knows the answer.
Yeah. I mean, I like to look at this as a life school, Ben. So I think, you know, if we look at this time here as like, we came here to learn. We came here to continue to evolve and grow and understand the lessons that we're supposed to get while we're here and alive. Then the work is never done. The lessons are never done. And it's not pass or fail, right? It's not like I failed this last 10 years somehow because we didn't end up staying together after 10 years. I don't believe that that's true. I think that this person came into my life. It was all exactly the lessons that I needed to learn at this period of my life. And now I'm ready to evolve into the next step, right? I'm leveling up into the next phase of my life, right? And it's all exactly as it should be. But, you know, to the point that Vanessa's making, I don't think we're ever done. I think we think sometimes that life is linear. We get to this point and like, okay, now I've arrived and now I'm good and there's nothing left for me to do. And I think as long as we're breathing, we're still growing and learning.
I like the spiritual nature of what you talked about because I believe that. I thought that was through the universe and all that. And I've been getting this message of surrender, like just surrender, like just become. I don't know how to do that though. I've never been that kind of person. I'm more of a type A. So I've struggled with that. I just want to fix it and get better and get to the next thing. So, and the other thing, like I just struggle with, like, how does somebody just jump out of a relationship right into another one so quickly? I mean, that's.
Because isn't that the easiest thing? That's the easiest thing to do, Ben. Think about it. That's the best way to not have to look at your shit.
Oh, really?
Because then I'm just in the feelings again. Like, not for everybody, but for a lot of people, the jumping from one to the next is a really good way to not have to look at what my part in something was, or what did I learn, or, you know, how can I grow, or whatever. Because those initial feelings are so fun, mm-hmm. you know?
And that's like legitimate. Like you get into a new situation, there's a rush of dopamine, right? Like you're flooded with all of these feel good chemicals. And, you know, think about it. The opposite option is after a relationship ends, you sit in all the discomfort and the anxiety and the ruminating and all of the stuff. And that doesn't feel good. And most of us, right? So most of us will do whatever we need to do to not feel uncomfortable feelings. But unfortunately, our uncomfortable feelings are where our growth lies, right? Our uncomfortable feelings is where we understand and make different choices in the next relationship. And, you know, I'm going to say this not in judgment of your ex, but it's just like what we do. We jump into the next thing without really taking the time to get the lesson. And we just keep repeating patterns, right? We aren't able to sort of ever build those healthy attachments or be in a relationship where we're able to stay present when things get hard, right? So I say that to say, just because she's moved on does not necessarily mean she's moved on to a dynamic where the same patterns won't be repeating. But again, that's sort of what I love to call her side of the street, not for you to worry about, right? But that ends up being the truth of what happens, I think, when we move on quickly.
Mm-hmm. I find myself getting triggered sometimes now, not as frequently or for as long as I was initially, but like, does that ever kind of go away, or is there always a chance you're going to get triggered by something, you know, a song or just, you know, a place you used to go or something, you know?
Well, I think
like,
you're,
it's like grief, right?
Yeah,
it's
like grief.
And just like we know with grief, like if you lost somebody, it can be the same in a breakup. I think your relationship to the triggers change. Right. Like I'll hear a song from my my last relationship that will still bring me back. Mm-hmm. But now that bringing back is not laced with the same pain or resentment or anger or whatever it was. I'm still there, but I'm in a space of like compassion or of like sending this person love or like fondness for whatever the memory was that, you know, brings up. It just changes. So it's not that it goes away. It's just your relationship to it changes. I don't know. Does that make sense?
That's true.
You know, we at the beginning, we talked about age. So I'll be 63 in July. And, you know, I feel like I'm 45, but realistically, but that, you know, that comes into play too, because like, in all honesty, I'm in the latter half part of my life. And so I'd like to have a good relationship to go out on, you know, or something. And it's not that easy now, because I'm finding, you know, when we're in our 30s, we're kind of all the sort of the same. But when you get to 60, there's some really old 60-year-olds and some really young 60-year-olds. And so I think that makes getting out and meeting new people or dating or something just a whole nother thing. I've done a little bit of the online thing. It's not really my thing. I don't really know how else to go about it in a pandemic, but it's not fun. You know, I'm not enjoying it. And if you have any suggestions in that along those lines, I appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, I do have suggestions.
Awesome. I do.
I got pen and paper.
I sure do. You know, I love to say, Ben, and I think especially for you, like as you're talking, I'm like, this guy's going to be beating them off of the stick. Like, I'm not worried about you at all. But what I think that you should do and focus on doing if you're dipping into the apps and it doesn't really feel organic and a good fit is just to really focus on building community, right? So the things that I love to do that I would do for myself, like whether that is, you know, different activities that are like, these are the things I love to do that I could do with other people, feels like the world might be opening up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So like intramural activities or meetups types of things. Vanessa and I facilitate groups in something called the TAT Lab, and we've been amazed like how many love connections have been made in there.
It's basically turned into a dating app because everyone's there in these groups doing the same work on themselves, right? And that's very attractive to some people because like we've said, you level up. Right. And so there's this real desire to attach with other people who are doing the same work as you. And so things like that for sure can become a place where you might meet people, you know, even if it is virtual.
Yeah. But I think
you do it virtually.
Mm-hmm. So you can hop in there for sure. But I think that you want to place yourself in spaces where you are, you know, more likely to be exposed to like-minded seekers, as I love to call them, like people who are attempting to do the same kind of work and inner exploration that we're hearing you so beautifully blossoming and being excited about doing, right? So you sort of like, I think, set the intention. I'm really doing a lot of this work on myself, and I just trust and know that the right lady who is also doing similar work is coming. You know, I love to sort of say, like, I make the mantra, the intention, I can't wait. I can't wait for this person that's coming into my life, because I know she's on her way. But I'm just going to put myself into spaces where organically the universe will sort of work it out.
And you're benefiting from it, right? Like, even if you're doing it and like tomorrow you don't make a love interest, it doesn't matter, because you're still filled up by what you're doing. Right. You're still, right, like invigorated by it. You're learning, you're growing. And so there's also a little bit less of like a desperation type energy around it when you're doing these things anyway, and you are enjoying them, and then somebody just kind of appears, versus like that clinging, desperate feeling, right? Of like, I'm doing this in order to meet somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't feel good. What you're saying now. Yeah. It just doesn't feel good. So no, I like that. What you're both saying. Yeah.
But I will say, Ben, self-aware is the new sexy. So I'm really not worried, because men that are conscious and attempting to really know themselves and do the work, and I say that sort of tongue in cheek, but it's actually so real, are so attractive and so much more, I think, what women are looking for, especially adult, you know, grown women who are like, you know, I'm not actually in need of someone to take care of me. You talked a little bit about your previous relationship and this like knight in shining armor. I think there are other things that come along with that, right? Like, nothing is without a cost. Nothing is without like its own challenges. And when I am in the role of saving someone, what that means on the other side of it is, this is someone that needs to be saved, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think as you are leveling up yourself, what that means is that I'm leveling up in the type of woman that I'm going to attract as well.
I guess I was so used to being like, I'm just used to being the rescuer thing. Mm-hmm. That's always been my thing. So that's what I've carried through my life. So I just have to keep that in mind. You know, I think, you know, like, what advice do you have like going forward? Like, how do you check yourself?
Old patterns,
you know, or do you just know?
I mean, I think it's like Vanessa was saying before, you keep doing the work, you keep exposing yourself to things that inspire you, and, you know, dropping into these spaces. And, you know, maybe that means therapy, maybe that means whatever. Like, I mean, Vanessa and I are therapists, and we still do our own work. We still are continuously checking ourselves on the ways that we get activated or start to fall into old patterns. I think it's lifelong work, you know, and inevitably we will all start to fall back into those patterns. And so when we do, how do I check in? How do I like have friends that are really honest with me, who hold me accountable and tell me the truth that maybe I might be a little resistant to hearing? Yeah. But I think for all of us, it's lifelong work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how do you do that?
I think it's going to be different for everybody, but it is like this, you know, you have to establish kind of what do your tools of self-awareness look and feel like. You know, I think for a lot of us, especially on like the beginning parts of our journeys, it looks like, or feels like, a moment after the fact where you go, ooh, I did that thing, right? Ooh, I did that thing. Let me sit with how that kind of makes me feel, and the realization that I did that thing. And that's going to be your way of sitting with it and processing what comes up, and paying attention to the thoughts and paying attention to the sensations, right? And all the processing. And slowly but surely over time, it does become a muscle that you build, so that maybe next time, you know, you act out of, say, like a heightened anxious attachment style, it doesn't take you a week to notice that you did that thing. You know, maybe it takes you an hour to notice that you did that thing. It's really just a slow build of, you catch it quicker and quicker. Doesn't really mean that it ever goes away. It's just that you notice it quicker, so that you can sit with it with more compassion. Right. So you're not beating yourself up for being human, as we all are, you know, and then also once you've kind of sat with that acceptance, you can then go back to, let's say, the person that, you know, maybe you acted out on, and you can say, hey, I realized I did this thing, you know, can we talk about it? Which is kind of like the level two of the work, because that's like the extra credit in going back and saying like, we should talk about this. We should address this.
I feel like I want to highlight something Vanessa said just to make sure you really heard it, because I do hear a lot of that type A, there's a like linear, like pass fail, do it right, do it wrong energy, which is the self-compassion. Like you get to like feel like, oh, I did it again a million times and forgive yourself. Like I love to say like radical self-forgiveness, radical self-compassion. That is how we grow. We actually, it's sort of counterintuitive. Yeah. We think we're going to grow by beating ourselves up and like, you know, slapping ourselves on the hand every time we do the thing again. It's actually the opposite. The more compassion we show ourselves, the more that we give ourselves space and room to fall short and begin again, the quicker we are able to move forward and grow.
That will be a change. Well,
and think about it like with kids, right? It's the same thing with, you know, being a dad. When you are critical and harsh and shaming, there's no learning in that for children, right? There's just a shrinking. There's like a, I'm not going to learn what I'm supposed to learn. Instead, I'm just going to hide myself or change my behavior to please you. That's what we learn, right? And so, you know, as a dad, like if you can be open and compassionate and allow that child to be seen for exactly who they are and not make them feel bad for being that way, that's where the growth is. That's where the learning is. That doesn't change. Just because we're adults, our brains are still the same in that way. So I would say like, remember that, like being a dad, use those tools for yourself now that your kids are adults.
You know, that you're just reminding me that, I mean, if there is a silver lining in all this, like I was trying to find a silver lining, my girls are 32 and 30 now, but so the relationship, I've told them all this stuff, like it's been really open. It's really sweet. And they've given me really good advice. Like one of my daughters told me, you know, for my ex-partner, you know, dad, she would visit you where you were psychologically, but she can't live there. And that's so true. But anyway, my relationship with them is now just amazing, because I think I'm just show up for them better now and understand where they're coming from and don't try to just be like a tough dad. Like, so
yeah, beautiful.
That's a good thing. So I kind of practice that there with them.
That's your practice for sure. It doesn't have to just be in romantic relationships that this shit shows up, right? Like we need to take the opportunity to practice it wherever we can. And what better place actually than continuing to develop a deeper and richer relationship than with your girls? I'm so glad that you brought this to us, because I will say, I want to put words to the bravery, I think, that it takes. You know, I think especially in this culture where we look at, you know, that, like you said, that latter half of life is somehow like less than, or like you contribute less, right? Like there's all this shit in our society that comes along with being a certain age. And I think you showing up and putting words to this is actually helping to disprove that really unhealthy narrative. You know, and so I just want to make sure that you know that this is going to help somebody for sure.
Thank you. I wasn't going to cry. So thanks. That's good thing.
And that is also going to help somebody.
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Ben, will you do us a favor and send us an email and just kind of let us know how it's going and how you're doing?
I'd love to. Thank you.
Maybe we'll even like have you back on in like 6 months from now and see.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah.
Where you're at.
Do a little follow up.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I just want to tell you both that you really need to know, you guys, the work you do is amazing. You don't know how many people you're helping.
Really appreciate you. So keep us posted. Okay. And we're going to have you back.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
I loved having that conversation with him. I think that's such a, I mean, certainly in the work that you do around codependency, I feel like so many of the themes that come up constantly around, like when I have just spent a lifetime taking care of everyone else's needs, I get to the point where I don't even know how to identify one of my needs if I try, right?
Yeah. Who am I? Who am I even? I mean, it's, so I always say that codependency work is as much identity work as anything else.
I love that. I don't know if I've heard you say that.
Yeah, it is. Because that's what codependency and codependent behaviors really does, is it really just strips us of any kind of understanding or knowledge of who we are at our core. And that means needs, that means wants, that means boundaries, that means, right, like desires, hopes, dreams, all the things. Like, I think so many people who struggle with codependency, just, it's so much safer to live in your head and behind the caretaking of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I feel like, what we just heard. you know?
And I think we have to hold ourselves with so much compassion as we're attempting to break these patterns, because codependency is so ingrained in us so little. You know, mm-hmm. the more that I start to understand about child development, I understand the way that we wire children for codependency. Like, oh my gosh, like from like when they first have language, you know, it's like, you're making me feel this, mm. you're doing this. And mm. therefore I, you know, like all of these things that like we understand now are very codependent ways of experiencing one another. But, you know, I just say that to say, it's not like I just snap my fingers and all of a sudden I can shut that down as my first response, you know?
Yeah. And so I, you know, I tell people all the time, like, as you're doing this work, you're gonna feel awkward and you're gonna feel stupid and you're gonna feel bumbling and all of these things. And you're gonna fall off your bike and you're gonna scrape your knees and you're gonna hit your head. Like, that is what it looks like. You know, if we're talking about riding a bike, like, that's what riding a bike looks like. But if you think about your body on a bike, the process of falling, it's actually the same thing with little kids learning to walk. Mm-hmm. The process of falling is actually just as important. Like, that is what helps your body learn how to walk or learn how to ride a bike. You have to actually fall to get that imprint, right? For your, a felt sense in your body of knowing how to maintain equilibrium. And so with not just codependency, I mean, it's any of this work that we talk about, right? Like, that's what you got to do. Like, you got to skin your knees. But boy, oh boy, does that feel scary.
Yeah. And I think that so often we're so impatient with ourselves in the process of the skin knees, and we want to be there already. We want to know, and like, how much longer. And I think it's just, as you know, as many times as you fall, you get to forgive yourself. You get to take a deep breath and you get to begin again. And that is how you actually get the thing down. And all of a sudden you're riding the bike, but it doesn't help to like beat myself up as I'm lying on the ground with the skin knee.
Yeah. And, you know, this idea of like it being a muscle that's atrophied. I mean, you know, you're a yogi. It's like, how many times have you heard somebody say like, I can't go to yoga, or I can't do yoga, I'm not flexible. Hmm. Right. And you're like, yeah, that's the point.
Maybe go to yoga.
Yeah. And so I think that we do this to ourselves sometimes, where it's like, I can't do that because I am this way, or I am not that way. And that's such a logical way of being. It's such a protective mechanism that we do. Yeah. And so just noticing, right? Mm-hmm. Paying attention to when that protection comes up and seeing if you can breathe into the space of, I'm safe. And if I know that I'm safe, can I do the thing anyway? What will that feel like? What will that look like? Just continually coming back to like the proving to the self that you're safe, the proving to the self that you're safe. I think is so much part of that practice.
And it's a felt experience. Like, yep. I can't logic my way into that. I can't sort of rationalize that I'm safe. I have to feel the feelings of being afraid that I'm not safe and staying with myself and seeing that I'm okay on the other side.
This is a profound one, guys.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cheaper Than Therapy.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And if you want to connect with us, you can find us on Instagram at Vanessa S. Bennett
and at Danae Logan Sulkin.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.